Now we're continuing with our lesson on thinking God's way. And really, thinking God's way is a supernatural act. This culture that we live in, this course of this world that has been instituted by Satan, has patterns of thinking that are so deep in the culture that it takes a supernatural act on God's part to change that. And that supernatural act, of course, is the new birth, where you're born again. Old things are passed away. All things become new. But thinking in God's way was lost in the Garden of Eden when sin entered the world. Sin is an enemy of thinking God's way. But we know that our thinking is not God's thinking, because God has told us that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts and His ways higher than our ways. But it's clear from Scripture that God desires that we think His way, for He gives us a new nature at the point of salvation and a transformation by God's hand begins to take place. We learn of this in Romans 8:29, which tells us of God's plan for His children. And that plan includes children who think God's thoughts. That verse is, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now, if you're a child of God, you belong in that group called many brethren. Now, predestinate is to determine beforehand. It means to foreordain. Now, some parents have in their mind where they want their children to be in 20 years, so they lay out a course for that plan in order for their children to reach that place. Now, some parents realize their plans, but many find children that are uncooperative in their plans. But one thing we know about God, when He predestinates, everything that He has determined comes about. You know, the culture, the course of this world cannot change what God determines to come about. Isn't that marvelous? I mean, we can confuse, we can alter, we can change things in this world, and yet God will have His way when all is said and done. His act of predestination will see to it that all of His children be conformed to the image of His Son, and that includes the conformance to the mind of His Son, for we are instructed to let the mind of Christ, His Son, be in you. That's an instruction of God. Let this mind be in you. Now, Jesus was in the business of washing the mind by the washing of the Word, and that washing results in transformation and renewal. Jesus is in the Romans 12:2 business, which says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You are allowed, according to this scripture, you are allowed to know the will of God with a renewed mind. God opens up His will to those who have a renewed mind. Now, one thing that you can be sure of is that Christ knew the will of God. It was reported to us in the Gospels that even at age 12, he knew he must be about his Father's business. He had the mind of his Father, and he knew he must be about his Father's business. There was no doubt in the mind of Jesus Christ relative to what he had come to do, for he had the mind of his Father. The lesson here is that the more you are conformed to Christ, the more you will know the will of God, for the more you are conformed to Christ, the more of his mind you will have. You know, someone says, oh, I don't know the will of God. Well, get your mind conformed to Christ, and you'll know the will of God. Now, you have, as we discussed last week, you have a part in how much of Christ's mind you allow in. For one thing we know is that God will not force His mind upon you. One thing we learn from Scripture is that we are co-laborers with God. We're co-laborers with God in this mind business, in this effort, because He gives us His Spirit to come alongside. So we're co-laborers in this business. You know that God could have snapped His fingers and given you a new mind instantly, but He chose to allow you to become a partner in the process. Now, your part involves a yielding through prayer and study of God's Word. It is clear from Timothy 2:15 that the study is the means which God uses to purify His children. How pure are you? How conformed are you to the mind of Christ? Well, it comes through study. It is His means of communication to His children, which is designed to lead to His approval. How do your children seek your approval? Well, they disobey you. No. If they disobey you, you do not approve. If you have an obedient child, you approve. So they seek to obey you in order to gain your approval. Now, we're admonished in 1 Timothy 2:15 to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice that word, workman. Used to be a character on Gilligan's Island, I think it was Gilligan himself, who every time he heard that word work, he would shirk and shriek. Remember that? Work! He would avoid work. But this verse tells us that we are to work. We are to be workmen. We are to put our minds to work. Why? So that we may be approved of God. Now study to show thyself approved unto God means that we are to study to get our minds on God's track. We are to study to think like God thinks, to conclude as God concludes. It is a continual process. You know, you go through school and you get your degree and you say, wow, I'm done with that. Well, there's no degree in Bible study. It's a continual process until your last breath. It's a continual process, and it's designed to lead toward purification. You are to study to see where you are wrong. You don't go in here and say, I wonder where I'm right. You go in here and say, well, that doesn't, I don't match up with that. We need to change that. No, it's the other way around. Repent of that wrong that you find and think God's way. As I said last week, study will always reveal that you are wrong and that God is always right. We are told it's a renewing of our mind. It's not a renewing of God's mind. Old things, we're told, are passed away. For old things are your thoughts and your ideas. All things become new, for you now have God's thoughts. This process of study is to reveal flaws. The elimination of those flaws, continued study to reveal further flaws, and again, further elimination will result in the renewing of your mind. It is basically a lifetime of conversations with God with the result of mind renewal. You know, conversation is a two-way street. If you just talk to God all the time, that's not a conversation. You know, some folks don't converse, they orate. Have you ever been around folks that orate? Your ears start hurting. But conversations with God means studying God's word and listening to God, praying, telling God your thoughts, but his thoughts overrule your thoughts. Now, I recall the statue of David, which is a marble masterpiece by Michelangelo, and it stands 17 feet tall. This ceiling is probably 12 or so, but this statue stands 17 feet tall and is reputed to be one of the most perfect sculptures ever made. Now, Michelangelo was able to see in that huge block of rough marble an image of a youthful King David. He saw that. He looked at that rough marble, and he saw hidden in that marble this beautiful statue. And he decided to unveil that statue by chipping away at that huge block. Every chiseled piece that was taken from that block was rejected by the sculptor after study of its worth. We don't need that. We don't need that. Chip that away. He's not here yet. And he went after that, David, and took away every piece that did not conform to the image of David that he had formed in his mind. And it was taken away and thrown into the scrap heap. You know, that block generated more scrap than statue, didn't it? That's the way we are. When God takes away things from us, boy, wouldn't it be interesting to see the scrap that's generated? But 2 years after beginning that statue from that rough block of marble, King David finally emerged from that block of marble, and it was conformed perfectly to the image of his maker. So the renewing of the mind is a constant removal of the marble of the old man, which reveals the transforming mind of Christ. Are you allowing the sculptor to do his work? Renew means to put out the old mind and to put in the new mind. You know, over the years, we've heard much in our church about child rearing God's way. But how hard it is for folks to change their thinking about this subject. How ingrained our minds are when it comes to the subject of child rearing, because all of us have been through this experience. We have all been reared in one way or another. That's an interesting way of phrasing the raising of children, isn't it? Reared. When we were growing up, Howard, we got reared, didn't we? The rear was a very prominent part in child rearing. They don't call it that much anymore because it's not very prominent. But we've all been reared in one way or another. We come to this subject with preconceived notions and thoughts and ways. We all have been raised by parents, some who have understood biblical principles and have applied those principles in our lives. But all of us, regardless of how well we were raised, were reared by imperfect parents who have used various methods, and we live with those results every day. You know, we say, oh, I wish my parents would have done a better job. But they did what they did based upon what they knew. But the paradigm for child rearing in our minds so much is fixed. And our culture, our upbringing, how mama raised us, and grandmother's words on this subject affect us, our education affects us, they all compete for our thoughts on how we will rear our children. But let me tell you, this is the thinking of the old man. If you take these things that are nested in your mind and use them to rear your children, you are allowing the old man to govern. This is not the thinking of the mind of Christ. For we measure in the old nature ourselves by ourselves, and we're satisfied to follow the old man. Now, perhaps we quell our Christian conscience by somewhat following the Word of God in ways that are not too revolutionary from the way we have been reared. We see how others do it instead of yielding to God's Word completely and wholeheartedly. We pick up Dr. Spock's book. That was the big book in our age. Oh, everybody did it by Dr. Spock's book. Well, that didn't turn out too good. But we look at what we consider success in others' child-rearing ways, and we're content. We may pattern ourselves by others who appear to be doing a good job, but that is not to be the way we are to do things. That is not the mind of Christ. That is the mind of others. You know, the Bible didn't say, let this mind be in you, the mind of others. It said, let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ. We are not to measure ourselves by ourselves or other selves, but we are to measure ourselves by the Word of God if we desire to let in the mind of Christ. Paul wrote about this in 2 Corinthians 10:12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number. Isn't that an interesting phrase? We dare not do this. Don't do this. This is a dangerous way to live in the Christian life. He's saying that it's like a big warning sign. There's a cliff ahead, and if you go that way, you're going over the cliff. And he says, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Oh, well, you look around and you say, well, I've got it made in this world. Well, what does that mean? That means that you're comparing yourselves among yourselves. Would you say that when you look at Christ? No, you wouldn't say that. So what is wise? If that's not wise, what is wise? It is the comparing ourselves to the Word of God and not to others. It is the letting of the master sculptor do his work. You know, Michelangelo had no other statue of David with which to compare his work, but only had what his mind imagined. So in the Christian, there must be a daily repentance of our wrong thoughts, so that God's Word can replace our patterns, our paradigms, and God's way of thinking installed in our hearts. That's the scriptural way to do it. You know, we say, well, my kids turned out right. Well, what are you saying there? Well, compared to others. That's what you're saying. How about compared to Christ? Only then, when we reject our past and the errors of our past thinking and realize wholehearted acceptance of God and His Word, will we be able to think clearly about any issue. You know, the pastor thinks long and hard about what he puts in the projector. That's a big job, the content. The masthead says, projecting the light of the Word of God on the issues of the day. Not projecting the light of his mind on the issues of the day, but projecting the light of the Word of God on the issues of the day. You see, his mind has to be replaced by the mind of Christ, and then he can put in the projector that which pleases God. So we ought to daily repent of our wrong thinking and study to feed the new mind that Christ desires in us. In showing ourselves approved unto God, we are not to study others, we are to study Christ. You know, when we study Christ and we allow by the grace of God the Spirit to bring change to our minds, God approves. He says, I approve, son. I approve, daughter. When we don't do that, he disapproves. We are not to study others. Studying others and patterning our lives by others is simply a form of worship of others. Did you understand that? When you put others as your pattern, when you think that you're as good as others and compare yourselves with others, it's basically a form of worship of others. But studying the Word of God is worship of Christ with the mind. We're told to love God with the mind, and studying His Word is loving God with our minds. We're to rear our children in the light of the Word of God and not in the light of others. You know, it's easy to be satisfied with our ways if we simply strive to reach the level of others. We can get to that level and we can be satisfied. But that's not what God your Father desires of you. But it's demanding. It takes discipline to study, to be conformed to the image of Christ as God desires. It takes a workman. Now, what is the first commandment? It has to do with loving God. Jesus said it this way, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." We're to love God with our mind. But you know, you can only love God with the mind of Christ. You can't love God with the mind of the old man. Did you know that? He gives you a new mind, and that mind is the mind of Christ, and that's the only mind from which he accepts love. How do you love the Lord? With your mind. In order to love the Lord with your mind, it must be with the mind of Christ. It must be from a mind that thinks like Christ. That's a high standard, isn't it? You say, "Oh, I love God," and yet you refuse to let the mind of Christ in. That's hypocrisy. Old things are passed away. All things are become new, and that is to include the thinking patterns of your mind. In order to please God, your mind must be captured by the Word of God, and that is done by study and by prayer. So only through close communion with God can God comb the wrinkles out of your mind and conform you to His Son. You know, one thing that I've learned in my Christian life is that God wants the best for me. My Father is not one who slaps me down, but if anything, He slaps me up. Every slap that I get from a disciplining Father is to go up. God wants the best for His children, and that includes a mind that thinks right, and being the loving God that He is, He makes arrangements for that to happen. God doesn't say, "Do this, do this, do this, and do this," but He makes arrangements for that to happen. Isaiah tells us that the man or woman who keeps that close communion with God by study and prayer will be kept in perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." Now notice the key words of this verse. Perfect peace, mind, stayed, and trust. This verse is about healthy minds. God wants you to have a healthy mind. This is about how to have and keep a healthy mind, for a healthy mind is a mind in union with God. You know, this is the age of confusion. This is the age of disorientation, confused lives, because lives do not have a steadfast mind. A steadfast mind is a mind that is stayed on God. Now, this does not mean that you are always thinking about God. God knows you have to go to the grocery store. God knows that you have daily tasks to do. God knows that you have to do things of this world. But this means that this is a mind that is anchored to God. It is stayed on God. It is connected to God. There is a safety line to God, and this mind at all times is what that means. A stay is exactly what it says. A stay stays put and is therefore not subject to change. A steadfast mind is firmly fixed in place. A steadfast mind does not waver. We know that the mind of Christ does not change. It is fixed. It is steadfast, for it is perfect. The mind then that is stayed, the mind that is steadfast, is firm in its belief. It is not double-minded. It does not waver like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You know, if you're stayed on God, there is absolutely no reason to be double-minded because you're fixed. Your mind is fixed. It does not waver, for the stayed mind is fixed upon God. A stayed mind has let in the mind of Christ, and with the mind of Christ, there is no confusion. If you have the mind of Christ, there is no confusion. Isn't that wonderful? Now, Isaiah continues with his admonition by giving you the reason why you need a steadfast mind, and that is that God will keep you in perfect peace. You know, I think all of us strive for perfect peace. Perfect peace. Now, that means regardless of what comes your way, you're settled and even-tempered. Nothing can upset, bother, or destroy you with a steadfast mind. You're at rest with things, and you operate in total confidence with a steadfast mind. When you learn to trust in God, you are stayed, you are anchored to God, you're anchored to God's word. There's a safety line upon you to keep you from straying, and the result is perfect peace. You know, James talks about those of two minds who cannot have perfect peace, for they have not let in the mind of Christ, which gets rid of the old mind. If you do not have perfect peace, let in the mind of Christ, because it is the old mind which causes discord. It is the old mind which causes hesitation, uncertainty. It is the old mind who causes a reluctance to wholeheartedly follow God. In this double-minded condition, it is impossible to function in God's perfect peace. The mind of Christ functions in God's perfect peace. That is what we are to strive for. It's clear in the scriptures. It's up to you, by the grace of God, to let in the mind of Christ. For the double mind brings instability in every single area of one's life. That's what James tells us. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The steadfast mind is stable, for it is founded upon the rock of Jesus Christ. But the double mind may have one foot on the rock and the other foot is on the sand. And when the water comes in, that foot on the sand will be undermined and the structure will fall. We all want perfect peace. You know, all of us will have perfect peace in heaven, but God wants you to begin that journey in this life by keeping your mind stayed on Him, anchored to Him, and the principles of the Scripture, and that will bring perfect peace. You know, God wants His children to be steady, to be stable, to have steadfast minds. Minds that are fixed in their beliefs, minds that are fixed according to the Scriptures, minds that don't toss and wave according to the cultures of the day, but minds that are fixed upon Christ because they are Christ's mind. Let this mind be in you. Father, we thank you so much for the truth of the Scriptures, how wonderful it is to know that you care for us. You desire, Father, that we have perfect peace, and that perfect peace will come through the mind of Christ that is stayed on thee. Bless us, Father, as we go to our service, and bless our pastor as he speaks to us. May our minds be in worship to thee, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.